Right now, I want to welcome to the show Tom Appel, who is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. Any and all automotive car-related questions, get them in right now. Text or talk, 312-981-7200. And here is Tom. Hi, Tom.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I am very well, thank you.
All right. Let's talk a little bit. We do this all the time for people who might be new. Tell everybody about the Consumer Guide Automotive.
Yeah, Consumer Guide Automotive. We've been around forever. Since 1967. All our new car and used car reviews are at consumerguide.com or just cgauto.com. And we try to have some fun with auto news, and that's at our cgdailydrive.com blog. They also link back and forth, so if you find one, you can find the other.
Okay, cool. And we're going to talk about some car issues and stories and all kinds of good stuff and get into some of the CG Daily Drive stories that you wrote, and I really want to have. We're going to have some fun. I don't know if we can print, if we can put some of these up on the Facebook page, Dan. Those CB ads, we can put a link to it. We'll get to that later on, Tom. But you did it. You talked about 12 classic CB radio print ads.
Yes.
Oh my God, fantastic! That's all I can say. And we'll talk and describe them, and we'll post them up on the Facebook page a little bit later on. So that's cool. Well, before we take a break, what are you driving now, Tom? I always like to find out what you're test driving.
I am in. I'm glad you're asking me this question today. The 2016 Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat,
Ooh. Which
is one of the most absurd vehicles on the planet. $71,000, 707 horsepower.
Man.
Barely street legal. The absurd thing is how fast this vehicle is relative to how tame it is in traffic. It's kind of a miracle. The only downside is 13 miles to the gallon.
Oh, that's what I figured. I was just going to ask you. Yeah. Just going to ask you that. Have you been able to open it up a little, Tom?
A little bit. Yeah. My daughter and I found some time on Route 53 to do some acceleration testing.
Is that how you refer to it?
Yes.
I'm a professional officer. I was doing a little acceleration testing.
I'm sure they'd understand.
I'm sure they would.
I didn't find it necessary to explain, but yeah.
Wow, that's a crazy car. That's nuts. Once in a while, do you like driving cars like that?
Yeah, you know, it breaks up the routine. I love driving the stuff that people actually buy. That's my job, and
right.
I'm really into it. But
right. It
is always great when something like that. It's the kind of thing where you kind of roll your eyes, like, why do they even build this? And then on some level, you're just so glad someone still builds stuff like this.
That's fantastic. Well, have fun. How much longer are you driving that one?
I actually turned it in.
So you turned it in.
Yeah,
oh.
That ended today.
Okay. All right. Well, Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
Tom Appel is with us. He's the best. He's a publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive and can answer any and all car automotive-related questions. Looking to buy, looking to lease, just have a car question in general. 312-981-7200. All right. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here till 5 a.m., Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, and then my buddy and yours, the great Steve Cochran, at 6 a.m., Tom Appel is with us. He visits with us once a month. He's the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive, knows everything about cars. And if you have a question, automotive or car related, get it in here now, text or talk, 312-981-7200, and we'll try to answer all your questions. And here's Tom. Hey, Tom.
Hey.
Couple of Tesla stories here to start with. Let's start with the Elon Musk's grand plan for Tesla. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, the grand plan is interesting, and it's interesting that Elon is talking about this now. But it's very much in the Elon Musk playbook to sort of throw up sort of distracting news and a distracting story when there's things that need closer paying attention to by the media. And that's a bit of what's happening now. But essentially, Musk is looking to combine two companies that he's the CEO of. One of them is SolarCity. The other is Tesla, the car company that we know. Into one company that he wants to consider a renewable energy company. And he's got some very bold plans, and this is a guy who sees bold plans more or less come to realization, so he's not to be ignored. But it seems like a lot of stuff to do right now when he's got this Model 3 car that he really needs to launch inside of a year and a half. But the story is that he wants to create a renewable energy company where people could buy their solar cells from Tesla. They could charge their cars from the solar panels on their roof. They can buy their cars from him. Additionally, What he wants to get into is helping people rent out their cars or lease out their cars to other people to use them when they're not using them, to be providing cars for car sharing and things like Lyft and Uber. It's just a sort of a full package deal. Not a lot of details, but a lot of very big picture stuff. And no doubt if Tesla survives 5 years, we'll see a lot of this stuff.
Well, you know, I mean, he's always got grand plans, doesn't he, Tom? I mean, you know, even with like NASA. And I mean, you know, his work with NASA and things like that. This guy's just got a lot of big ideas. Some of them may never come to fruition.
Right.
Yeah.
And as skeptical as I am about the Model 3 at $35,000, he pulls things off. So he can't be written off. He's a fascinating guy. I think he's got the best of intentions. And yeah, this will be fun to watch.
And what about this? How far along is this, the car that you're talking about, $35,000?
That's a good question. The big race he has right now isn't so much the car, it's sourcing the batteries. If he does indeed sell as many of these as have been ordered, he's going to need an awful lot of batteries. So he's building this giant, they call it the Gigafactory, this giant battery plant in Arizona. Nevada. 3 million, I think it's 3 million square feet, this giant plant to produce these batteries, and he's way behind schedule on that. So that's one of the big challenges. The other, obviously, is no one's seen a running version of the Model 3, and that's something that in the next year and a half has to be crash tested and certified and all sorts of things. So he's almost certainly behind schedule on this.
Okay. Now, the other story is, well, mainly maybe as you were alluding to, Tom, the other story is maybe the reason why Elon Musk is giving this grand plan now.
Sure.
Is to kind of get, you know, the press away from this. But there's an investigation into Tesla after this fatal crash with an autopilot. Tell everybody the story about what happened. A tractor hit a car.
Yeah, it's an interesting story because it's probably the first fatal accident having anything to do with Tesla's autopilot. And autopilot, for people who don't know, is an option on the Tesla Model S and Model X, which is the crossover that's out there now, that allows people essentially to let the car do some driving for them on the road. However, Tesla doesn't actually recommend that you do that. So the purpose of autopilot's a little bit confusing. Nonetheless, it does have this capability. People have been doing that with this, and in this particular instance, it failed. And the reason it failed, according to Tesla, is that the car was unable to distinguish in very bright light between the white side of a tractor trailer and a very light blue sky of a vehicle that had pulled in front of the vehicle. So, yeah, first accident like this. The government is looking into it. We'll see what happens. But a lot of people are right now condemning Tesla for calling this product autopilot and then telling people not to use it like autopilot.
Yeah, that's very strange.
It's very misleading.
Yeah. And so is it an option that comes with every one of those, the types of cars that you're talking about?
It's available on every one of the cars that they sell right now. Yeah, and it's sort of advanced cruise control. It has the adaptive cruise control where it can decide how far you are relative to the vehicle in front of you. Additionally, it has a lane keep assist program that will keep you within the lanes on the road using radar and sonar and a camera. So, yeah, so far it's been a pretty good system, but now we know of a circumstance where it failed.
Yeah. And what else would you have called it? There had to be a different way you could have referred to this instead of autopilot.
Yeah, I don't know. Enhanced cruise control. I don't know. The thing about it is it's hard to understand what Tesla's intentions are for the product if you're not supposed to actually use it
right.
Like autopilot.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, they're telling you to keep your hands on the wheel, and yet they're encouraging you not to.
That really doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
I mean, including something like that with the car and then telling someone not to use it, I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense.
No, and Tesla's been pretty good about, not pretty good, but very active in lending vehicles to lifestyle bloggers and video producers where they get out on the road and they're demonstrating how it works hands-free. That's probably a problem.
That is a problem. Man. And this happened in Florida.
That sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, it happened in Florida in May. And it's the first, I mean, have there been accidents that with this autopilot that weren't fatal?
I think there have been a couple small accidents, yeah.
Okay. But this is the biggest and worst of all of them. Okay.
Well, the
investigation is happening. All right. We'll take a quick break here. We got the news coming up. Tom, hang on.
Will do.
Tom Appel is here. We got more carts situations to talk about. By the way, Tom is a Star Trek fan, and he did see Star Trek Beyond, and I want to get his thoughts on that. And he's just about to embark on a road trip with his family, and we'll get a little bit of that, too. And answer any and all of your car-related questions at 312-981-7200. News is next. Hi, everybody. Good morning. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Tuesday morning, 2 for Tuesday, coming up a little bit later on. 2 for Tuesday, yeah. Get your requests in right now. One artist, two songs, 2 for Tuesday. Get them going, 312-981-7200. Also, use that number to call us or text us with your car or automotive questions of any kind, 312-981-7200, because my guest is Tom Appel. And Tom is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive, and he joins us once a month to talk all things car and automotive related. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
All right. We have a couple of texts here. Maybe you can help people out, okay?
Okay.
All right. 740 area code says, please talk about the new high-performance Cadillac automobiles. The initial information looks incredible. How does it compare to the new Bentley GT3?
Wow. That's a strange comparison. The new high-performance Cadillac that's out there right now is the Cadillac CT6. And the big news there is that there's a new 3-liter twin-turbo V6 available for it. Have not driven it with that engine. I've only driven a base model with the 4-cylinder engine. It's a very nice car. It's not especially high performance. It's more of a very refined touring car. But I don't see it as a performance car exactly, and it's not nearly as sporty as the Bentley he's discussing.
Okay. 773 area code says, my kid is going to college this fall, and we're looking for something smaller with good mileage. It's still a little sporty and looks cool. Any thoughts? This is always this time of year, Tom. You know, right towards the end of the summer?
Yeah. People
start going, all right, the kid's got to get a car. So what do you recommend in this case?
The car I was thinking about buying for the Appel family when my daughter started driving was the Scion IA, which is a small car actually built by Mazda for Scion with a bunch of safety equipment that's standard for about $17,000. Good mileage, fairly roomy. Kind of fun to drive, not too fast, so no one's going to get in trouble, but I like that car a lot.
Okay. All right, great. All right. So the VW stories continue. And we knew this wasn't going to stop. But the feds announced $15 billion settlement.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Yeah, $15 billion. It is $10 billion to buy back vehicles from existing owners, plus to reimburse them for their time in trouble. So each owner is going to get between $5,000 and $10,000. How that's decided is not yet understood, but they will be buying back the cars for what was fair resale value before the scandal began.
Wow.
The other $5 billion is punitive by the government that Volkswagen is going to have to spend in the U.S. on programs to help clean the air and educate people about clean air.
Is this about the number that people were thinking was going to be, or is this excessive, you think?
Actually, I think this is a little higher. I think everyone thought it was going to come in around $10 billion, so this is a surprisingly high number. And this is just the U.S. They've got to come up with money in Europe and a bunch of other countries, too.
Wow. How much damage is this now going to continue to do for VW? Obviously, VW has taken an enormous hit over the last few years because of this. What's going to happen with this now?
I think what we're waiting to hear is what assets they're going to sell in Europe. And I may have mentioned this before, but Volkswagen, the parent company Volkswagen, owns two large truck manufacturers in Europe. One is Scania and the other is MAN, M-A-N-N, both of which are very large companies with great value. We might see those moved over to some new Chinese owners sometime in the future.
Okay. And then they have the emissions cheating fix ready, or so they say.
Yeah, they might have one ready. It's mostly a rumor at this point, but discussion is they figured out how to fix this, and not with great difficulty. So here's the good news. This would allow dealers in the U.S. to again sell diesel products. And this is important because diesels had once made up one-third of all Volkswagen sales. So this has been brutal to the dealership network. But once those vehicles are bought back, if you decide to sell it back to Volkswagen, if they can be resold, that's good news for everybody.
Wow. Okay. How soon is this going to end, Tom? Is it ever going to end?
Volkswagen has to have 85% of these vehicles repaired or purchased back in the next 2 years.
No, that's the deadline they've given them.
Yeah. So that's sort of the deadline. So everything's got to start happening pretty quickly.
What happens if they don't reach that deadline? Will they get fined more?
Yeah, I don't know if we know what those penalties are yet, but yeah, there will be a substantial fine per vehicle if they don't hit that target.
Wow. Okay. So that's the Volkswagen story. And you can read all of this, by the way, at Consumer Guide Automotive, and lots of stories there to talk about. Also, Tom, before we get back to some of the stories and some of the texts and stuff, and by the way, we got some phone lines open if you want to jump in. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 for any and all car-related and automotive-related questions. So, Tom, you guys are going to go on, your family's going to go on a road trip.
We are.
Tell us about that, and when are you leaving?
Yeah, really excited. We leave next Sunday, this coming Sunday. We're going to be taking the new Chrysler Pacifica, which is Chrysler's all-new van and the first-ever good-looking van. and we'll be taking that on the 1,100-mile trip to Denver, which I'm really looking forward to.
And are you? Do you have the route all figured out? Are you guys gonna, you know, just stop, go along the way, and stop off at places?
My plan is to not have plans. That's not really in my wife's nature. So we have a certain number of plans, but I'm resisting those. But yeah, we're gonna stop when we want to stop and get there when we get there.
Now, how often do you do road trips, Tom?
Never. I'm so excited that we're going to.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I would love to. It's just something I've always wanted to do, so this is going to be great.
Okay. Well, it's good that you know, because your job is to drive things, and every once in a while, do you ever get sick of it? You ever go, I don't want to go on a road trip because all I do is drive?
Actually, sometimes I'm happy to be a passenger.
Okay.
Yeah. I can just look out the window. So. And I'll be able to do some of that. So my wife will be able to drive. So that'll be great.
How long are you guys going to be gone?
A week.
All right, great. Week out on the road.
Yeah, if people want to follow it, I'm going to be chronicling my trip on Twitter. So if people want to check that out. And then I will do a blog on the story when I get back.
Okay. And if you want to follow Tom on Twitter, it's car_guy_Tom. That's car_guy_Tom. Follow him on Twitter for other reasons as well. But if you want to check out the road trip that's going to be happening starting on Sunday, again, follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. All right. We got a couple more texts coming in here, Tom.
Great.
847 says, generally, what's your opinion on buying vehicles that are well over 100,000 miles? Are Carfax reports reputable?
Carfax reports are excellent. They're almost never wrong. I'm not aware of them being wrong, and they guarantee that information too, which is great. So, I trust Carfax almost without hesitation. Over 100,000 miles these days, I think 150,000 miles is the new 100,000. Mm. I think that 100,000 cars is still fairly reliable.
You know, it's what's what we've learned again, Tom, during all of your visits here, is that my audience really likes to keep their cars.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had some. Didn't someone call in and say they had like 310,000 miles on their car?
Yes, we did. Yeah, your audience and my father. They just hold on to their cars forever.
Give me some examples of your dad's cars.
Yeah, my dad is currently. My wife and I purchased a Subaru Forester back in 1999 that we traded out of pretty quickly. My father bought it, and he's still beating on it. He's so bad to his cars.
Is he?
I think there's one headlight left. there's three different brands of tires on it, and the thing's still chugging along. I mean, God bless Subaru.
Yeah.
But that car probably has about 150, 160 very hard-earned miles on it.
Oh, man. I'm trying to think of. I've never really gone that high on a car, but I beat my cars to death when I drove. I had my first car that I ever really got was a 77 Firebird.
Nice.
And I drove that thing into the ground. And I got to say something, man. That car was in the shop more than any other car I've ever had. I don't know what. Is there something about the 77 Firebird that needed repairs, or did I just have a lemon?
Actually, if I remember correctly, those were built in Van Nuys, California, which was the lowest quality factory, I think, on the planet. Certainly in the U.S. It was just a problem-riddled factory.
That makes sense. That really makes sense. I will say this, that it takes, if you're driving a Firebird, and I know you've probably driven several of them, Tom, or at least the model that I had, it took a little while to get used to the fact that there is no back end and a 40-foot hood.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like parallel parking that car, I really had to readjust. I completely had to readjust how to park because I was like, there's a 40-foot front and no end, no back end.
And nobody is tall in that car. No one is tall enough to see over the steering wheel.
That's right. Yeah, God. Oh, man. All right. Birdman. Oh, Michael Keaton is listening, evidently. Birdman says, I love the old Outback wagon. What did Subaru replace it with? It seems like the newer Outback is SUV.
The Subaru Outback, for people who don't know, was in fact a legacy station wagon that was lifted slightly, given some lower body trim and some other things to make it look like a crossover. Excellent vehicle, great in the snow, very much like a crossover. Yeah, they still make it. They also make something now called the Subaru XV Crosstrek, which might be a little bit more like the traditional Outback. It's a little bit smaller. A little bit closer to the ground. Excellent vehicle.
Okay. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. If you want to jump in here for your talk and text, any and all car and automotive-related questions will be handled by Tom Appel. You can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. That's car_guy_Tom. And, Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
All right, Tom Appel is with us, and phone lines and text lines are open with your questions, and we'll come back. We got a few more articles to talk about and some stuff that he wrote about in the Daily Drive blog, some really fun stuff. And also, I want to hear Tom's review of the new Star Trek movie. That's all coming up right here on WGN. Yeah. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Coming up in a little bit, we are going to do a little round of misheard lyrics. You hear a song, you sing along with it, you think you're singing the right lyrics, you're not. And maybe you've been singing these lyrics for 15 years and discover that indeed you've made a mistake. An example is the website, if you want to check it out, it's a really fun website called kissthisguy.com, kissthisguy.com, which has examples of people mishearing lyrics, and we're going to do that, play some back, and talk to you guys about yours. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Right now we're talking with Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive, and he is here to talk more cars. Hi, Tom.
Hello.
All right. Here's Trucker Rich, who's out on the road. Go ahead, Rich.
Hey, Nick and Tom. I've been reading online that GM is talking about bringing back the Pontiac line in a performance mode, you know, because there was they're basically getting their butts kicked by GM and Chrysler with the Mustangs and the Challengers. But I was reading where they're going to bring back like a Pontiac GTO branded as a Pontiac GTO out of Australia like they did before. And it's going to be a big motor rear-wheel drive car from what I've been reading. Is there any truth to that?
No, not a word. Unfortunately, the source of those vehicles in Australia has been shut down. General Motors had a division in Australia called Holden. They'd been around for decades, and they were the source of those rear-drive cars, including the GTO, the Pontiac G8, and the current Chevrolet SS. But they no longer build those. That's just becoming a retail organization down there. As for the Pontiac name, I think that's going to lay fallow for a little while longer.
Right. Well, I mean, I was just reading that they were talking about bringing back the GTO. I mean, they even had pictures and stuff on this website I've seen. But, you know, I've been a fan of Pontiac forever. And
so yeah, me too.
Get rid of that one.
Pontiac brand. Yeah, that's just good rumor, but I can't possibly see that happening.
Okay. All right, Rich.
Right. Yep.
Okay, Rich, take care. Be safe out there.
Thank you.
Okay, buddy, take care.
Bye.
312-981-7200 is the phone number, 312-981-7200. All right, now you guys get to have some fun on the Daily Drive blog. Tell everybody a little bit about that.
Yeah, we, you know, our full-length car reviews go there, but we like to do stuff with old ads and stuff from our old reviews, our 70s and 80s reviews, and put together lists and things of that nature. But just great old photography and great old ad content.
All right, let's talk about this Convoy Madness 12 classic CB radio ads. What was the inspiration for putting this together?
Actually, the inspiration is I heard the song Convoy. Which I didn't realize was both a terrible and wonderful song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
it's very entertaining.
Yeah, C.W. McCall.
Yeah, who turns out isn't a guy.
No.
Oh. So that's nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I just went and looked. And yeah, obviously, that song was the inspiration for millions and millions of CB radio sales. And my family was actually among the people getting snookered by that. And my father actually bought us a CB radio that we stuck in the family Pontiac Ventura. good times. But we managed to collect a dozen really good-looking ads a little bit before that period, and then most of these from right in the 70s, late 70s, when all this madness was taking place.
Oh.
These things were fairly expensive at the time, too, going for about $150 to $200, which was a lot of money at the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like that some of these ads are just great, but I also like that the City Phone one, which is this the earliest one?
Yeah, that's a really early one.
Because that's it's a two-way citizens radio telephone is how they refer to it. And it's good for boating, home, farming, camping, mobile, business, sports, and industry.
I don't know how that works for sports.
I don't either. But it was, God, this is a lot of money for that for this time period. $125.
Yeah, that's a bunch of money. And this looks like a mid-60s ad.
Yeah.
So that's a chunk of change.
That's crazy. And I remember, a lot of people don't remember if you weren't around in the 70s, you just don't remember how big these were. Smokey and the Bandit added a lot to it, too. It
was a huge amount.
The Convoy, 1-2 punch of Convoy and Smokey and the Bandit, and everybody was on, with they all had handles. And they knew the lingo and all that stuff. But some of these are really, so where did you find these?
Different places. We have a pretty vast, our sister publication, Collectible Automobile Magazine, has a vast archive of old magazines, so it's very easy to dig through those.
That's fun, man. If anybody wants to see these ads, we're going to put a link up on our Facebook page. You just want to check out these 12 CB radio ads, and they're hilarious. They're really great. Remember companies like, we got Cobra, and of course, Radio Shack. It's fantastic.
And then the big question is, and I've been asked this three times, is the woman in the lead photograph Rene Russo?
See, and she looks exactly like Rene Russo. And is that, now do you have an answer for that?
I don't. But Damon at our office believes with great certainty that is Rene Russo.
I mean, she looks exactly like, what year this ad was around?
That one was like 77.
77? That would look like maybe Rene Russo was around that. She looked like she would be around that age.
That seems right.
Yeah, 77, absolutely. Yeah, all right. Well, anyway, if you want to check them out, they're great. They're really a lot of fun. I had a crazy neighbor. I told this story before, Tom. I had a crazy neighbor who would live next door, the apartment next to me. And at all times of the year, he would be out in his Ford Fairmont. which is, by the way, the car that I learned how to drive in. That's why when I went to Taft High School for driver's ed, and I learned to drive in a Ford Fairmont. But anyway, he had a Ford Fairmont parked out in front of our apartment building with a gigantic antennae just on the back of the car. And he would sit in his car, even if it was 50 below, and he would talk on the CB going, breaker 1-9. And it was so bad, Tom, that it would interfere with our TV reception. Like, we would watch it, we're watching TV, and we had cable. We're watching TV, and all of a sudden, we're watching a game show or something, and all of a sudden, it's like, breaker 1-9, and the volume would come across on our TV, this idiot sitting in front of our apartment building in his Ford Fairmont till 4 o'clock in the morning on his CB. And this was the late 90s, Tom, mid-90s.
Which, there was no one left on the, there were just truckers at that point.
Like, who's he talking to? Exactly. Who is he talking to? At 4 o'clock in the morning on his CB radio this was 1995, because it was when we first moved into the neighborhood.
I don't have an answer for
I know you don't. I just thought I'd share that with you. All right, let's squeeze one more call. Here's Julie on WGN. Hey, Julie.
Hey, good morning, Nick.
Morning.
Hi, Tom. Tom, I'm buying a car today from a private owner. It's a 2002 Ford Taurus. It's got 110,000 miles. I like what you said about the 100,000. It's only got a lot of rust along that little strip that you would call a running board on an old car, but right inside the doors. Other than that, it looks like it's in pretty good shape body-wise. Is there anything in particular about that car?
No, nothing in particular. Did you have a mechanic look at it?
Not yet. I'm going to do that this morning before I cough up the money.
Oh,
but he's
great.
Not asking
good.
Much. It belonged to a little old lady who passed away.
Of course it did.
And I'm a little old lady.
So what's good? It's a good idea, right, Tom, to have a guy look at it, right?
Yeah, no matter what. Once you're over 50,000, 60,000 miles, just make sure someone looks at it that knows what they're looking for.
Right.
Well, he's been taking pretty good care of it. I like the fact that he's got all the records on his care.
Okay.
That's a good thing.
All right, Julie, thanks for the call. Have a good day. Good luck.
Thanks a million.
All right, bye. Before you get out of here, Tom. I understand, and I do know that you're a big Star Trek fan. In fact,
yes.
Last year you came out to my screening of Wrath of Khan.
Which was awesome.
Yes, it was. So awesome. Not a dry eye in the house when Spock died.
No.
And it was a couple of months after Nimoy died. I think it was like 3 or 4 months after Nimoy passed away. But you saw Star Trek Beyond, and you are a big Star Trek fan. Have you always enjoyed Star Trek?
I think I have, pretty much back to the original series.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me what you thought of Star Trek Beyond.
I have mixed emotions.
Okay.
I think that overall I might give it a B minus. The directing is maniacal. So much stuff happening quickly. The action sequences make no sense. I don't know. The story's all over the place. But the great news is the Simon Pegg script. This movie is actually very funny.
Yep.
The dialogue between McCoy and Spock is just so spot on. And in the fine tradition of the show, it's just very funny.
I have to say, I was a big fan. I'm actually a really big fan of Beyond. It's my favorite of the reboot movies. Of the three reboots.
I could see that, sure.
Yeah, I mean, I actively disliked Into Darkness because they were messing with Khan, and I don't go for that.
No, and that movie's not fun. It took itself just a little too seriously.
Yeah, this one's a lot of fun. And you hit it spot on, Tom. My review was essentially like, please allow Simon Pegg to write the rest of these.
But
he's clearly a fan. Now, I will say this. It doesn't get as heady as a lot of the Star Trek movies could. A lot of the sort of themes and stuff that Roddenberry was really into, that kind of goes by the wayside. This is just a popcorn movie, you know?
Exactly, exactly.
But, man, there's stuff in it that's really terrific, and I really love the new badass character, the Rayla character.
Yeah.
I really like her a lot.
Yeah, and I loved the opening sequence that had nothing to do with the movie, where Kirk breaks bad trying to handle a diplomatic function.
Exactly. Well, you know, and I really do think, I really do think that there was a real love and understanding of the characters in this one, which is, I think, what you just pointed out.
Yeah.
Is that clearly Simon Pegg is a geek. He's proven that, you know, by making Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz. I mean, he's one of these guys that loves genre movies and genre pieces and pays tribute to them lovingly, and I think that's what they do here.
I completely agree.
Yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun. So, all right. So, let's see. If people want to follow you on Twitter, once again, it is @car_guy_Tom.
Yep.
And in the newsletter at Consumer Guide Automotive, can we tell people about that, or...?
I haven't started the newsletter yet. We're going to do that soon.
Okay.
But thank you. Yeah, we'll talk about that soon. We want to get everyone signed up for that if they want to keep up with what we're doing.
Okay. And by the way, you also have here the top 10 best and worst cities for driving, according to Wallet Hub. And Chicago is the third worst.
Yeah, I'm a little annoyed that they have cities like Gilbert, Texas on there that are, of course, they're easier to drive in. They're tiny.
Yeah.
It's not a city.
No, it's not. But, I mean, we're fourth. We're under San Francisco, Detroit, and Washington is considered the worst.
Yeah.
I don't know. How is it worse to drive here than in New York?
I don't know. And somehow we're worse than New York.
I don't understand that.
I don't.
It doesn't make sense. Anyway, that list and that article is also available at the Consumer Drive, Daily Drive blog. Okay, always a pleasure, Tom, and we will talk to you next month. And have a great trip.
Well, thank you very much. Looking forward to our next visit.
Okay, Tom, take care.
Thanks.
There you go. Tom Appel going to enjoy a summer road trip coming up. All right. We've got a break. News is next.